The time now is 10 minutes to 8. Let's get the business news from Emma McNamara.
Rachel, Skillnets, which is the national training agency, says it trained 10% more people last year than it did in 2012 and spent much more time doing so. In its annual report published today, Skillnets says it beat its targets for the year and its total spend over the year was 23.9 million, including 10.9 contribution from companies. We're joined now in studio by Alan Newsom, Chief Executive of Skillnets. Alan, those increases, is it down to higher demand for trainees or you've got more resources?
No, we've had the same level of funding in 2012 as we did in 2011. I think part of it is that companies have been prepared to invest more alongside the public funding part of it, which is, a sign that companies are trying to find their way through the current impasse, and they see one of the solutions to that is upskilling and developing their staff. We've also managed to invest quite a considerable amount of money in the support of job seekers alongside those that are in employment, which is a fairly unique concept in terms of public policy. We're able to, as I say, provide training that is in demand by those in employment and partly paid for by their employers, and job seekers can avail of that service free alongside those in employment.
Partly paid for by employers, but you're also Department of Education funded. How vulnerable are you to cuts? We've seen them elsewhere from the department.
Well, I suppose funding is always a question. It's always a challenge every year for us. But what I could say is that for 2011, 2012, and again now in 2013, our funding has remained steady at 14.5 million for the year. We see that as a vote of confidence in what we do. We could always use more, but we have been able to effectively do more with the same amount of money as we've had over the last 3 years.
Now, Skillnets works with the private sector. In your view, which part of that is seeing things improving at the moment?
Well, I think it's no surprise that there are various sectors of the economy that are experiencing growth. A lot of them are export-focused, obviously. So the whole ICT sector, life sciences, pharmaceuticals, the food, agribusiness, the green sector, etc., certain parts of manufacturing, they're all in a growth phase. And there's twin challenges there. Is there's jobs growth, so new people need to be found, trained, but also existing staff need to be kept up to date and become more multi-skilled in order to survive.
Now, your training happens largely on the job. Are these people who are being trained in company being held onto?
Very much so. And just to clarify the way our model works, we operate through networks of companies. So we have 56 networks around the country in all sorts of different sectors. And within each of those networks, the companies come together as a cohesive unit, identify their common training needs, go out to the marketplace, find the solutions to those training needs. And the vast majority of the training takes place with people from different companies alongside one another. So you get that networked effect and a far higher level of learning within a sort of peer-to-peer context.
Are you training people for emigration?
I've no evidence of that, but in a report that's about to be conducted by Indicon on all of our activities for 2012, one of the questions they were asking was to what degree were the people that were being trained via SkillNet networks retaining their jobs, and a figure of around about 97-98% retention of those who have been supported by SkillNets within employment is a very positive sign.
That sounds incredible, 98% being held onto. Is there a cap on the amount of people that you can take on and train in a year?
Well, obviously, our model is a joint investment model between the public sector in terms of the National Training Fund, which is where we get our money, and the willingness of employers to invest their cash. And the proportion that employers were prepared to invest went up last year. And in many networks, for example, up to 80% of the cost of the delivery of the training would be borne by the employers. So it's much more about the quality of the training than necessarily it is about the subsidy.
And we can't ignore the fact, especially in the light of the last couple of days' tapes from Anglo, that while banks doled out finance for property development and purchases, construction boomed and education and training was not a priority for a lot of people who just wanted to get straight to work. Many of those working in the sector are likely to be those you're now training. What are they being trained for?
A very interesting question, and it's very heartening to see that many of those who were previously employed in the construction sector, we are able to help them primarily via what we call conversion programmes, whereby we can take their existing skills, education and experience, and with intensive training and work experience, can help them to convert, to reorientate themselves into different sectors. So we've seen lots of evidence of people from the construction sector being able to enter the technology sector, the life sciences, for example, a civil engineer becoming a medical devices engineer, and all sorts of other examples like that.
OK, Alan Newsom, Skillnet's chief executive, thanks very much for joining us in studio this morning. To currencies, the euro is trading at $1.31.41 and 84.99 pence sterling.